Well, good morning, church. Awesome to be here with you today. Hey, let's start off today with this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is going to be on the screen. If you would join me in reading it out loud together. There it is. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. I'm going to have you guys read the rest of the verses because apparently I'm struggling this morning. But I appreciate you reading that with me. We've been walking through Galatians 5, asking ourselves the question, what does it look like to walk by God's Spirit? And also, what does it look like to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Last week, we talked about what love looks like when the Holy Spirit is working in us. How it's a love that will take us above how much we would normally love and beyond who we would normally love to people that maybe might be our enemies, might not be people that we would normally like, going above and beyond. And this week, we're going to talk about joy and peace. And you know, I thought about, as I was thinking about this message this past week, I watched an action movie for the first time in a really long time. And as I'm watching this action movie, something kind of just popped in my head. It's something I've noticed for a lot of years, and maybe you've noticed it too. Sometimes in action movies, they have these heroes that are like the luckiest character ever. Like, they walk into a room, there's like 12 bad guys who all have guns, but somehow they're able to just punch out all the bad guys. And of course, the bad guys never pull their guns, and when they do, they kind of just like put them out towards the hero. Like, here, you take it. And then, of course, if they shoot at them, they can't hit anything. The hero can hit everything, but the bad guys can't hit anything at all. And then, of course, if they do shoot the hero, they just shoot him in the shoulder of his non-dominant arm. And of course, that doesn't affect him a lot. It affects him about as much as a mosquito bite. Until, like, the final scene when he's got his little sling on and they're about to ride off into the sunset. And these other characters in the movie who maybe he hadn't had a great relationship with at the beginning, but now they have respect for each other and they share this nice moment where they make a joke together and then ride off into the sunset. Of course, showing us that the real treasure wasn't just saving the world, it was the friends we made along the way. I had to get that off my chest. Thank you. But sometimes, I was thinking about that sometimes that's kind of how we think Christianity should be. Like everything should just go perfectly. The enemy always misses. I can't be touched. I'm just kind of untouchable. Problem is, we are touchable. Turn to someone around you right now and say, listen, you're touchable. Say it. Don't touch them. Just say it. You don't need a touch. Fact is, we are touchable. There are things that happen in this world that are not good, that are not of God. There's trials that happen, there's temptations, there's horrible things. There's been some things even this week that have reminded us that horrible things, tragedy can happen like that. There's really bad things in this world. And see, there's a lot of things in our world that are not joyful, that don't feel peaceful. But interestingly enough, the Galatians doesn't say that the Holy Spirit will produce peaceful circumstances or that the Holy Spirit will produce joyful circumstances. It says it will give us joy and give us peace. You see, joy and peace are all dependent on something. And the fact is, in our world, oftentimes joy and peace are dependent on our circumstances. Right? I have joy when things are going well. I have joy when things are happy. I have peace when things are peaceful. When the kids are all quiet and leaving me alone and I'm sitting there, it's a great and wonderful 30 minutes or 30 seconds. Joy and peace oftentimes are dependent on our circumstances. But what God promises us is instead joy and peace as a gift of His Spirit that are separate from our circumstances. See, joy is a delight in the Lord. It's an inner happiness and peace that goes beyond our circumstances. Peace from the Lord is an inner tranquility, despite what's going on around me. And so today, I want to talk about what does a joy and a peace that comes from God, from God's Holy Spirit, really look like in our life. And the first thing is what I just said. joy and peace that come from God are not dependent on my circumstances. They're not dependent on my circumstances. I can have joy in the midst of chaos. I can have peace that makes no sense. Fact is, joy is delighting in what I already have in Christ versus focusing on what's going on me around me or what I don't have around me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writes that you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message of Jesus in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Joy given by the Holy Spirit in the midst of suffering. Philippians 4, Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, maybe you've heard this verse before. Do not be anxious about anything. And sometimes this verse gets slandered with a word, and sometimes I've even slandered it with a certain word. There's a word I'm starting to really not like, especially when we're describing Scripture. It's the word cliche. The word cliche means something that's overused, something that shows a lack of original thought, just something you kind of just spit out. But the reality is, I hate using that when it comes to Scripture, because the fact is, if somebody is dying of thirst and I go to give them water, no one's like, oh, that's kind of a cliche, isn't it? Oh, yeah, water for the thirsty. Oh, yeah. Somebody's bleeding. You want to give them a Band-Aid. Oh, that's so unoriginal. The fact is, Scripture always is powerful. The problem is sometimes I think we focus on the first part of the verse. I mean, I've heard people who are suffering from anxiety attacks and panic attacks, having real issues in their life, and they've even come to me, like they've had people come to them and go, listen, the Bible says don't be anxious. Pray. Talk to God about it. And I've actually had people who actually, probably because, anxiety on top of anxiety, they're like, I just feel so horrible. Like the Bible says not to be anxious, and I'm feeling anxious. Like, they feel like they're in this trap. But the reality is this. It's not about the first part, it's about the second. Verse 7, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we come to God and we bring it to Him, and God promises us a peace that will transcend all understanding. See, the fact is, peace is standing on the rock even when my world is getting rocked. God's peace is something that transcends all understanding. It's a thing that doesn't make sense. Like, how are you peaceful in this moment? Your world is crumbling around you. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus and He is your rock, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Philippians 4, Paul writes this. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Fact is, joy and peace are both things that are separate from our circumstances. They come from what's going on inside, not what's going on outside. See, one of the things I've found in my life is that when I'm at my absolute best as a parent, now those moments are kind of rare, but when I'm at my best as a parent, I've noticed this. No matter what's going on with my children, I still have a joy in them. No matter what's going on as far as craziness, I can still have this peace, like this calm that, no, I'm just going to remain calm. I'm just going to be calm in this situation, walk them through it, even when what they're doing isn't great, right? My daughter may have a poopy diaper. That doesn't stop my joy in her. I still love her. I'm still overjoyed that she's my daughter. There's moments where my son, man, seems like he thinks there's like a punch card. How many times he acts up today? Maybe he gets a prize at the end of the day. If I'm truly walking by the Spirit, man, I have this peace and this calm. Okay, you're making a bad choice. There's going to be consequences, but it's not affecting me. Now, I said the moments where I'm at my best, right? I still wrestle. I still struggle. But what I've noticed is I love to watch grandparents and great-grandparents with my kids. Because it's amazing how much more of that peace and joy that they have. They're just like, oh, yeah, they kind of acted up. But overall, they're just such angels. It just keeps going and going and going until finally gets to great-grandparents, right? And it's like, oh, man, you robbed a bank. Wow, well, you're growing up so fast. Like, it just continues on to the point where there's this joy and this love and this peace that pours out. You've probably seen it from your own grandparents. Just this love that pours out. And in the same way, when I have the joy and the peace of God working in my heart, it doesn't matter what poopy diapers or tantrums or storms are going on around me, there's a joy inside of me where I'm delighting in the Lord. I can enjoy the world around me. There's a peace that I'm tethered to. Fact is, when I have that in my life, nothing can take my peace. You can't take my peace because you didn't give it to me. It's given to me by God. You can't take my joy because you didn't give it to me. It's about who's, if your circumstances are the ones that's giving you joy and peace, then they can easily take it away. When God's given you your joy and your peace, nothing can take it away because they didn't give it to you. Now, the reality is this. When you talk about peace and joy, no matter the circumstances, I want to be clear, peace and joy is not denial. Like peace and joy is not going, oh yeah, this situation is just fine. Like, the reality is, there are terrible and horrible situations that happen. There's horrible moments of loss. There's things that just are absolutely terrible. I've had moments where I've done, you know, funerals for children. That's probably one of those moments that I think of as the absolute, like worst, most unjoyful, unpeaceful moment. When you're sitting with a parent of a child who passed away, especially when it involves horrible circumstances, and you're sitting there, that you're not saying, oh yeah, this is great. This is wonderful. Let's just be joyful. Let's all just rejoice. But the reality is, I've been in situations with people who didn't know Jesus, and I've been in situations with people of grandparents crying over their grandchild who's no longer here, but there's something about them. Even though they hurt, even though it's painful, there's this deeper understanding that this situation isn't good, but our God is. And there's this peace that just is just surrounding them. Even though they're crying, even though it stinks, even though there's questions that they're asking, there's this peace and this joy that's deep within them. And you see it not only in those moments, but in how they heal over time. You see it in a lack of bitterness. You see it in a healing that happens. You see it in a forgiveness that happens, in a love that comes out of them. When the Spirit is working in us, there's something different about us. Even in the situations that are absolutely horrible. Fact is, peace and joy that comes from God is not about my circumstances. What is it about then? It's about my connection to God. Peace and joy is about my connection to God. Going back to Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, I know how to live in almost any situation. I know how to live with nothing or everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or little, for I can do everything with Christ who gives me strength. A little spoiler here. He wasn't talking about winning a sports game. But anyways, he, in this moment, is talking about the fact that in every single situation that comes, he can be content. He can have peace and joy because Christ gives him strength. Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We just said, it's Christ who gives me strength as we trust in him. John 14, Jesus says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This peace and this joy comes from our relationship with Christ. Comes with being rooted in him, with trusting in him. It's from Christ who gives us strength. It's a gift from God. In all these things, the reality is, it's not me that's doing it. I can't create it on my own. You know, Charles Spurgeon has a quote that I love. He says, when I looked at Christ, the dove of peace flew into my heart. But when I started looking at the dove of peace, it flew away. What's he saying? Saying, when I looked at Jesus, I got peace. But when I started focusing on having peace, it went away. It's kind of like when Peter steps out on the water with Jesus, and he goes out in Matthew chapter 14, and Jesus is walking on the water towards him, and he walks out because of Jesus. It's Jesus is why he's walking on the water, and he starts walking towards Jesus, but then what happens? He takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking at the storms around him. I don't know, maybe he starts looking around at his feet like, I'm walking on water! All of a sudden, what happens? He's drowning. Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. The fact is, it's Jesus that gives us the peace. It's walking by him that gives us a peace and a joy that surpass all understanding. It's by being connected to him. And when I start focusing on, well, I'm just going to have joy. I'm going to make myself be happy. I'm going to make myself feel peaceful. I'm just going to meditate until I just feel calmed down. Eventually, that's going to last a little bit. But it's Jesus that's going to give us that everlasting peace and joy. You know, in 1932, there was a U.S. Navy blimp, or dirigible as they call it, that came in for a landing. It was the USS Akron. Came in for a landing. It was a big deal back in the day. So about 10,000 people all surrounded this airfield to watch this big blimp come in and land. They had about 200 sailors that were out there helping to tie it all down. And something went wrong. The wind picked up, some other ropes broke, and all of a sudden, these 200 sailors that were holding on to this rope suddenly found themselves starting to go off the ground a little bit. Now, there's 200 of them. 190-some of them listened to their original instructions, which were, if you start getting lifted off the ground, let go. Unfortunately, there was a few that didn't get that memo, those stubborn people. You know those kind of people. I'm just going to hold on. A couple of them fell from about 15 feet, broke a few bones. But unfortunately, there were three of them. At least this crowd of 10,000 sees this blimp going up in the air, 200 feet, and there's three sailors hanging by ropes. It's kind of a scary moment. And even more to the crowd's horror, they watch as two of them eventually lose their grip and fall to their death. Finally, there's one guy left. His name is Bud Coward. He's hanging up there, and this huge crowd is watching, sort of expecting him to fall. And the fact is, he was hanging from this rope for like over 2 hours. They were able to get him back down. And what they found was that he was hanging there, and he watched as his friends fell, and he realized something. He had some extra rope behind him. And so he went and tied it around, tied a little knot. He's a sailor. So he was able to tie a little knot and get a nice little loop. And so instead of hanging by his own strength, he was just suspended, hanging there, letting the rope do the work. The fact is, when it comes to us, our connection to Jesus, to our own peace and our own joy, we can hold on for a period of time. Man, I'm just going to be peaceful. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to say that word. I'm just going to have joy. I'm just going to rejoice in what's going on around me. I can force it for a while. I can hang on for a while. But eventually, my grip's going to slip. Eventually, I'm going to let go. But when I'm connected to and rooted in Jesus, and I just rest in him, there's a huge difference in what's going to happen. That's why Jesus says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You have to remain in me, stay in me, rest in me, live in me. Romans 8, Paul says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. We have a choice. Who are we going to let control us? Our flesh? Or are we going to walk by the Spirit? Are we going to let the Spirit control our lives? Are we going to remain connected to Jesus? Romans 12 Paul writes, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. The fact is, when I'm walking by God's Spirit, when I'm letting the Spirit guide me and lead me, when I'm staying connected, remaining in Jesus, things are going to start to happen in my life. Fruit's going to start coming out. But when I'm letting other things rule in my heart, then I'm going to find myself having less and less peace. Am I letting the peace of God rule in my heart? Am I letting myself be guided by the Holy Spirit? Am I allowing myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind? Or am I too busy transforming my mind to be like what the world thinks? Am I putting things into my mind and my world that are connecting me closer to Jesus or are taking me further away? Because the reality is this. The joy and peace of God is not about my circumstances. It's about my connection to God. But here's the final thing. Connections can be disrupted. You ever notice that? Any of you have had a cell phone before this generation? I remember back in the early 2000s. My goodness. You'd walk around the house like you have to get this perfect place to be able to hold it just right. And then all of a sudden you get a call. Fact is, connections can be disrupted. Connections can be tricky sometimes. So I want to talk today about two things that disrupt our connections. I think there's two major things I see quite often. It's discontentment and distractions. Discontentment, like complaining, grumbling. You know, I remember there was a story growing up about this burglar that broke into a house. Maybe you guys remember this one. It's kind of a sick, weird story, but like this burglar breaks into a house and starts eating people's food, and they don't like it, and they're like, this one's too hot, this one's too cold, this one's just right. And then they go and like start laying on their beds and go, this one's too hard, this one's too soft, this one's too, what was her name? Do you guys remember? Yeah, Goldilocks. That one was a psycho. Breaking somebody else's house and then complain about their stuff? Are you crazy? But have you ever noticed it's so easy for us sometimes to like find things to complain about? Like, you ever heard the term first world problems? Man, like a first world problem, if you don't know, it's like that moment when you complain about something that is a problem here in the first world, but it's not a problem in like other countries, like maybe some third world countries, because it just doesn't exist. Like you're sitting around going, oh my gosh, the Wi-Fi's out. Oh, life sucks. There's places in the world where they're like, what's that? Right? We talk about, oh my goodness, gotta have Chipotle again. There's places in the world where people are like, we'd like food, period. Right? There's moments where we have so many things that we can complain about that other places and other people don't even have that problem because they're just focused on having it in general. It's amazing how much we can find to complain about things. And that's why I think in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why would it be God's will? Because the fact is, when we're complaining, when we're not thankful, when we're not grateful, it's really, really hard for us to live close to Jesus. It's really, really hard for God to work in our life. I think it's so why it's God's will for you to give thanks in all circumstances. Because without thankfulness, it's really hard for God to work in your life because you're too busy complaining. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's bringing up kind of a history lesson with these people. Many of them came from a Jewish background, and he's bringing up all these things that had happened in the Jewish people's history. And he says, listen, be careful of these things and these things. He walks through some things. There were major stumbling blocks for the Israelite people. Talks about idolatry. Talks about sexual immorality, debauchery. There's a lot of things he talks about as being major issues. But then he comes to the final one, and it just feels out of place. 1 Corinthians 10:10. He says, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. He's been talking each time about a bad thing that happened to each and every one of them because of these things. And then the final one is, listen, don't grumble. Don't complain. That's such an interesting one. That's not one that I would often put on that list because I think the reality is complaining is the opposite of worship. Complaining and whining is the opposite of giving praise to God and being thankful in all circumstances. And so the fact is, it's really hard to have the joy of the Lord in my life and the peace of the Lord in my life when I'm too busy talking about how much this situation sucks, how much I don't like it. Fact is, when I'm praising God, that's the opposite of complaining. So what I have found in my life is those moments where all I want to do is complain and whine and focus on the fact that I don't like this because it's inconvenient for me. When I stop what I'm doing and I just worship God and just give Him praise and glory, it's amazing how my heart starts to change. And all of a sudden I start to feel this peace and this joy that make no sense. I start to see this peace that surpasses all understanding start to come out of my life when I start to worship Him. The second thing that I see that will disrupt our connection with this joy and peace from God is distraction. That's why in Galatians 5:16 it says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of your flesh." Hebrews 12 tells us that, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. "For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let us throw off everything that distracts us and entangles us, and focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The reality is there's a lot of things in our world that try to distract us. And it's really hard for God to speak in my life when I'm not listening, right? It's really hard for His word to speak to me when it's closed. It's really hard for Him to work in my life when I'm too busy running after everything else I want in life. Distractions happen in our life. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12 to cast off anything that would stop us from following Jesus, from focusing on Him, and focus our eyes on Him as we run our race. The reality is, as we focus our eyes on Jesus, Jesus starts to fix our eyes, starts to work on us and change the way we see the situations around us. So we have to ask ourselves, is there anything that's stopping me from getting the joy and the peace of God? Am I too busy complaining and whining about things? Am I too distracted? Am I actually spending time with God, talking to Him in prayer, opening up His word? But finally, am I focusing on the right things? See, it says, "Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross." Jesus understood there was something better yet to come. I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," he's talking about our bodies, "we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." There's two things that are so important in this. One, I love this metaphor. Paul is referring to our bodies, to our life as a tent, a temporary dwelling, a temporary thing. Like, yes, it is caving in. It's a tent. That's what's supposed to happen. Eventually it wears out. It's a tent. That's what's supposed to happen. Eventually this life will end. But what we have in the promise of Scripture, the promise in our walk with God, is that there is something greater coming. There's an everlasting thing coming. This life is just a flash in the pan. And then Paul says this, we have a deposit called the Holy Spirit. In other places, he says that it's the Spirit that reminds us, that agrees with our spirit, that we are children of God. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that is a deposit. If you think about a deposit, when you go somewhere and you loan some money potentially, or you go to loan something out, you go and put something down. This is a deposit. This is collateral. You hang on to this. You hang on to the title of my car until I actually pay you back. You hang on to the title of my home until I actually pay you back. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you my spirit because I'm coming back for you. So to remind you of that, I'm going to put my spirit in you who's going to be working in you and doing miracles in your life and producing fruit in your life as a reminder that, hey, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm coming back and there's something more to come. And so as you walk by the Spirit, what you start to see happen is the lens that you see trials and tribulation starts to change. Because you're no longer thinking about things just from an earthly lens. And you're realizing, man, this is just a quick trip. There's something so much more. We get heaven. So when we look at things around us, the way we look at problems and trials, tribulations and terrible things starts to change. But that only comes if we're walking by God's Spirit. And so this week I just want to invite you. If you're finding yourself in a place where you don't have a lot of peace, you don't have a lot of joy, let me first ask you this. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him? If you've never started a relationship with Him and invited His Holy Spirit into your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that here today. If you're someone who's been following Jesus for a while and you're just finding yourself, man, I'm so unpeaceful. I just don't enjoy things. I get mad about everything around me. I'm always anxious. Maybe today's the day where you just, man, come to God and repent of it. Repent just means to turn from the way I've been doing things and doing them God's way and just saying, God, would your Spirit work in me today? We'll give you an opportunity to do that as well. Would you bow your heads with me as we just come before God's throne and we just say, God, what we want in our life is to have more of your joy and your peace. Not joy and peace as we can create it, but God, we want to remain tethered to you and having this peace that makes no sense, this joy that just surpasses all of our understanding and wildest imagination and dreams. And so God, I pray for every person that can hear my voice today. If there's anyone who's never experienced a relationship with you, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit is just drawing them closer and closer to you right now. And I pray that today is the moment that they say, God, I want to give you everything. Everything I've ever done wrong, I just want to give it to you right now. God, I repent of my sins. I repent of all the things I've done wrong, all the ways I've been doing things, and I want to do it your way. I want to make you Lord of my life. God, you take everything. God, I pray for every person here today who's been following you for a while. Who's just, man, starting to feel stuck. Starting to feel joyless. Starting to feel like they have no peace. They're always anxious. Something's always wrong. God, I pray just for your Holy Spirit to fall right now. That they would have a peace that surpasses all understanding that your word promises us. God, they would have a joy in the midst of chaos. God, you would start to do something that isn't just something we can produce on our own, but we would really see the fruit of your Holy Spirit happen. God, you are just so good. You're so awesome and you're so amazing. God, thank you for the fact that you love us enough to send your Son down to die on a cross for us. But not only that, thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our life, to produce power in our life, to draw us closer and closer to you, to make us look more and more like you. So God, thank you for that. And help us to walk by your Spirit more and more. Thank you for how you're working in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, we're going to